blessings new and fresh each morning. Exodus chapter 16 is about the manna, the children of Israel being introduced to the manna, the showers of blessing that God rained down from heaven. And we've already seen in this chapter that the gathering of those blessings, that manna, would be a test from God. Whether they will walk in my law or no is the way he says it in verse 4. Since we've looked at that, I wanted to look more deeply at the tests themselves. The test last week we said had to do with the days of the gathering. The days of the gathering are specified in verses 4 and 5. It would be every morning and daily. So every morning is daily. And we also saw in verses 26 and 27 of chapter 16 that some of these went out to gather on a day that they were not supposed to, on the seventh day. It says in verse 27, there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. God had already told them, the manna is not going to be there. But it's almost as if they thought God didn't mean what he said, so they went out to gather just in case it would be there. They took God as someone who did not mean what he said. They were seeking what God said would not be there. So they doubted God. And we talked about the fact that doubting God displeases God. So that was the days of the gathering. Today I want us to see that the test also had to do with the amount of the gathering. So in 16:16 of Exodus it says this, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every person according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." Again, this would be taking place daily. It would be, according to verse 4, a certain rate or a certain portion. On the sixth day, verse 5 says, gather twice as much. Now, a certain rate is specified in verse 16 as an omer. An omer is 7.5 pints. How many pints does it make? How many pints does it take to make a gallon?
8 pints.
So you've got almost a gallon that each person would have. An omer, a piece, was to be gathered. And this was designated by God as that's your portion for the day. So an omer of manna, a gallon of manna, was placed before the Ark of the Covenant to be kept throughout their generations as a memorial. You'll see that in verses 33 and 34. Moses said to Aaron, take a pot, verse 33, put an omer, a gallon full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Verse 18, when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating, no excess, no lack, because it was measured as an omer or a gallon for every person. Verse 36 tells us that it's the tenth part of an ephah. So there's the amount of the gathering, but I want us to get to the use of the gathering as we see starting in verse 19. Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. So what you gather, don't leave it out. That is specified in verse 19. In verse 20, it's violated. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So it bred worms and it stank. This tells us something. God's blessings are new and fresh every morning if you just rely upon him. If you expect it. When God says it's going to be every morning, anticipate it. Hey, here's an idea for your devotions. Go to your devotions with anticipation. If you have your devotions in the morning, which is the best time to have your devotions, anticipate what God is going to give you out of his word. when you anticipate a blessing, folks, from God, you're going to read a little bit differently. Your mind is going to be approaching it in a different way as you anticipate the Lord to speak through His word to you. But they had tried to make the blessings of the previous day hold over until the next day, doubting that the manna would be there the next day. That's unbelief. So the principle is this: what you use in opposition to God's command stinks. Isn't that pretty good? What you use in opposition to God's command stinks, while that which is used in obedience to God's command is sweet. That's true in every aspect of our lives. Every weekend, every sixth day, of course in the Jewish calendar, every sixth day was Friday. Every sixth day when they would collect their manna, there would be twice as much. They would leave it over, and the next morning you would expect it to stink. But God performs His miracle. And on the seventh day, what was gathered the sixth day in obedience to God was there to feed them as well. God would take care of them on the seventh day. Now, when you think scientifically, why didn't every other day of the week, why didn't it hold over like it did on the seventh day from what was collected on the sixth day? That's as much a miracle of God as manna being on the ground in the first place. But the principle is this: God takes care of you when you walk in obedience to Him. This is proven in verses 23 and 24. Verse 23, "And He said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath." Now, when I read the word rest, I made it look like, oh, that's the remainder of it. No, is the day of rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today and seethe, that means boil, and seethe or boil that ye will boil. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, and Moses, as Moses bade, and it did not stink. Neither was there any worm therein. You read the rest of this, and it has to do with the principle of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath has to do with rest. We're talking about where you're tired, where you're weary, and you get a rest. Those who honor the Sabbath in this passage have as much as those who do not, and more. More because they have rest in addition. Folks, realize that God has given us a day of rest. He has given it to us. Man was made for the Sabbath, right? Or was the Sabbath made for man? Yeah, God gave it to us for rest. It is a true test of faith. Will God provide as He promised, or do I have to work again on Saturday? Jewish world here. You say, well, we rest on Sunday. That's right. Because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the pattern we see in the New Testament. But Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. Sabbath means rest. Do you take a day of rest? That should be today. I don't get much rest today, so I take mine tomorrow. That's why you don't see me around here typically you don't, sometimes I'm here. But every one of us has to rest. We need to. It is crucial for your health and your sanity. Take the rest. People say, I don't need to rest. You're a fool. You're a fool. Take that rest. And use it the way the Lord said. Somebody said this: the fourth commandment, while requiring that one day in seven be given to the Lord for worship, does not stipulate which day that should be. That must be established on other grounds, and is established first by the patterning of God's creation, for on which day did God rest during creation? Seventh day. And second, by the law regarding the manna. So the attempt for people to procure for themselves some kind of an advantage by doing on the holy Sabbath the work appropriate for the week time proved abortive. It didn't work. We'll get something done extra on the Sabbath. It doesn't work. Can you name any businesses that do not stay open on Sunday that are actually doing just fine? Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby. Those are the two I think of. That doesn't mean these people are perfect Christians, but it's just saying, you know, there is honoring the Lord. It used to be that there were blue laws in the United States where, you know, many people didn't work on Sundays. And I know people have to. Thank the Lord for law enforcement, because criminals never take that day off. Seventh-day multitaskers really do not do anything to get ahead. I'll do today on Sunday, that way I'm ahead on Monday. Wait, why not do on Saturday so you don't have to do it on Sunday? Somebody said this: not only did God associate the imagery of rest with Israel's possession of the land, but he also connected it with commands concerning the seventh day of the week. The first command regarding the seventh day and rest came after Israel's passage through the Red Sea, but before they arrived at Mount Sinai. So even before you get to the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, here we are in chapter 16, and God has established the seventh day as the day of rest. The day of rest is a gift that God has given to his people. It's a day to rest. Look at verse 30. So the people did what on the seventh day? They rested. It's a gift that many reject. The Israelites ate manna from the middle of the second month after the Exodus until the day they arrived in Canaan for 40 years. They ate the manna for 40 years. They found that on Friday, when they would hold that manna, they would collect an extra gallon each. They would find that, man, the next day, it didn't stink. But if they tried to do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the next day it stank and it bred worms and there were problems. When you obey God, God works miracles to make sure that he does for us what he has promised. Now, let's finish by going to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Something to point out to you in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, the purpose of the giving of the manna was to teach God's people to depend upon him. Dependence upon God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, this is Moses giving last instructions before he dies and before the children of Israel go into the land of promise. Deuteronomy 8, 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee. That is, he allowed you to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make you know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You remember that passage being quoted by somebody in the New Testament? Jesus himself, when he was being tempted to turn those stones into bread as he's being tempted in the wilderness, Satan said, just turn these stones into bread and you'll have something to eat. And he said, he didn't say Deuteronomy 8:3, but we now know it's Deuteronomy 8:3. He said, as it is written. And then he quotes, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at verses 16 and 17. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of mine hand hath got me this wealth. So that you would not say that. He proved you. I didn't do this. I didn't get this prosperity. I did not have these blessings. God is the one who gave them to me. I must depend upon him. Manna is a wonderful picture of the blessings of God from heaven, and that he will provide for us when we live in obedience to him. And we'll have rest when you live in obedience to him. Let's trust him. Let's depend upon him. Lord, thank you for the new